Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on another brand new episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast that talks about all sorts of silly nonsense in a way, in the sort of like the serious tone that befits it, I think. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Joe Elvin. I'm here with him.
Oh, hello. Being James Williams, our other host.
That. I didn't recognise him. He's grown a beard since the last time I saw him.
I'm trying. So,
yeah, no, it's succeeding.
I'm not quite sure yet. I'm still on the fence with it.
Are you playing your own game of beard or no beard?
Yes, I am. But I'm not sure it's annoying me enough yet. But yeah, I'm still slightly unsure. But you know, I'm going to go with it. You've got to keep running with it.
He's looking very, very manly. I don't know what I think, actually. I like it.
Thank you.
But you know, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us today. And obviously, it isn't just us. It's never just us, is it, James?
No, absolutely not.
Today, we are joined by an absolute, a food legend, I think.
Certainly in our kitchens, because we love her book.
Yeah,
her new book is amazing.
Superstar, food writer, wellness guru. She doesn't like to mention number one best-selling writer of the book.
Yes.
Eat Happy. Hi, Melissa Hemsley.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, you've got a good podcast voice.
Have I?
Well, she has her own podcast. You're going to be a dab hand at this.
Oh, I hope so. I think you look really fit with your beard.
Oh,
it does, doesn't it? What about mine? Do you like it?
You look amazing. I mean, I've seen your outfit today already on Instagram. So yeah. It's like my double.
I always cut my head off, so the shock is not so much. My head doesn't really go with any of my outfits, Melissa.
Oh,
your face is wonderful, and good old voice as well.
Oh,
it's. I've never done it. I was about to say a three-way like this. I've not done it this way. And
well,
actually,
I'm glad you chose us for your first three-way, Melissa.
We are honoured.
Yeah.
I don't know who to face, though.
Oh.
Who do I give my cross leg to?
Well, now we'll know which face she likes the best.
Just say, play one off against the other, Melissa.
Apparently it's a power thing. If I angle to you, it means I think you're the boss. And if I angle to you,
just mix
know.
It up.
Mix
That's
it up.
The way we roll.
See, I've got to say, I'm quite used to being the boss. Mm. I mean, I'm not James's boss anymore. But I don't know.
He's come back.
She's still the boss of this podcast. She's the boss of this podcast.
This podcast is. How many episodes have you done now?
I don't know. About 3 million.
Yeah.
I think it's like 88 or something.
Yeah. When he emailed me, I screamed.
Oh.
I screamed, and then I wrote to you, "I'm screaming."
No way.
And I counted to 30 seconds, I think, before I pressed my reply. I wanted to reply, and I was like, "No, I'll count to 30, and then I'll reply."
I'm blown away by this.
It's exciting.
Oh,
thank you.
So you're a listener.
I'm a listener. I love them all. And how many have you done?
88,
I don't know.
I think it's 88.
Is it
I noticed
really?
The other day. Yeah, apparently. Wow. I think that might be right.
Were you the original?
We are the original.
Have you won any awards?
No. It's a bit of a sore point. I'll have you know.
All right.
It would possibly help if I bothered to enter the awards.
Yes, true.
But it falls down at the point where I'm not technical enough to know how to send sort of like MP3 edits of the thing. So
this looks techie.
We're not very
techie.
I'm
loving
techie
this leather pouch. That
is literally just.
Have you ever taken a picture of it?
No,
of the equipment.
Although, who would know that this amazing podcast just came from a pleather pouch and that?
I think you're making it sound so much sexier than it really is.
To be honest, a lot of people have complained about the sound, so I imagine a lot of people would imagine that it comes from that little thing on the pleather
pouch. Or just inside of a.
Not even leather, pleather.
A tin can, something like that. But look, this love-in is complete because you know, genuinely, because I've seen you and I've told you, your book, Eat Happy, is so good. It really is great. And for people who are out there that you've never heard of it, what's the basic sort of ethos behind your sort of way of eating and cooking?
Okay, well, this is very exciting. Eat happy. Hang on.
Get that frog out, Melissa.
Do you know, I haven't spoken to anyone today. That's why.
I hate it when that happens. So
life working from home,
saved
right?
Saved it all for us.
Saved it all for you.
No, but it's true. You need to warm up because I've done this a lot sometimes. Should have done that, shouldn't I? And it's always that slight awkward bubble that comes out when you...
Okay. Just take two. Get two. I'm getting really emotional about talking about my book, obviously. Oh. So Eat Happy is my third cookbook, first for myself. And it's about 30-minute food. So it's food you can make in half an hour because people say, what is the reason that I don't cook? And I get a ready meal or I call Uber Eats or Deliveroo is the time. So I thought, if I can make something in half an hour and I can make it meet the sweet spot of delicious and healthy, then I think I could write a book about it.
You've nailed it.
Have I nailed it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I see you two chatting about it on Instagram. Screenshot.
Well, what I was going to say to you is that my husband really loves the book as well. And he's a very strict vegetarian and always has been. Mm. And so it's not like we fight about it, but it's a book that we quite often argue about what to eat in the evening. Mm. But it's when we look forward to cooking from your book, and he's just as into it as I am.
It's just like a peacemaker of books.
It's the one thing, when we're sort of like struggling to agree on something, one of us says, well, let's have a look at Melissa's book.
Amazing. And, it's a couples counselling for food.
Couples counselling in a cookbook.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Saved my marriage, Melissa.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Because my boyfriend and I, we both eat everything, but we still have the same thing. It is the most one of the most commonly asked questions, what are we having for dinner? And it's the sort of thing that you think about almost as soon as lunch, which is often unsatisfactory.
Well, here's the thing, I get in trouble because I ask that question at like 8:30 in the morning.
Do you?
And he says, I don't know.
Do you think that's a very British thing though? Because you've travelled around the world probably promoting your book. Because I always think it's just British people who are obsessed with talking about the next meal, the meal they're currently having. Do you know what I mean? We're always thinking and planning ahead food-wise. Yeah. Do you think that's a very British thing, or is it pretty much universal?
I feel like the weather, too. So I feel like we always want to know what's coming next. We're never comfortable just being, are we?
Yeah.
No.
That's a wider topic. But no, I feel maybe the people that I go and chat to on my tour, so that, you know, I've just come back from Holland and New York, they're all food obsessed here. Everyone just loves talking about food. It's a moment. It's a moment of pleasure three times a day, isn't it?
It brings people together, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we all work so hard now. If you're not careful, you're going to end up having breakfast, lunch and dinner at your desk.
Yeah.
So I see why people love talking about it. Do you remember when I saw you backstage? Mm-hmm. We were talking about what to eat, weren't we?
True.
What tea bag to have?
Melissa makes very good tea. I mean,
I always put two bags in.
Well, we recently had the lovely Katie Piper on this, and it was quite a heated conversation when it transpires that she does not have a clue how to make a decent cup of builder's tea. I mean, fair enough.
Oh, really?
But yeah, because I think she treats every tea like it's herbal. So it was a bit of a revelation.
She puts milk in herbal tea. Hemp a psycho.
Hemp milk.
Oh, hemp milk.
Yeah.
Well, that's a strong flavor, isn't
it? Exactly.
Is that very food fashion forward?
Oh, so fashion forward that I've not even had any hemp milk myself. I think that hemp would make a nice milk, but quite a punchy one, I think.
Mm. Without having ever tried it, I'm going to disagree with you violently and vehemently. I just think there's no need for me to ever know what hemp milk tastes like. Yeah.
Pressed hemps.
But, you know, I mean, the one thing I would say about your book as well, you touched on it earlier, Melissa, briefly, is it's the flavour fast, because I've given people your chicken curry, which is pretty much made in 20 minutes, and they don't believe me that it's made, because I think people have this idea that curries take 5 hours to grind and roast your spices and to develop the flavour, and it's a revelation. So that's the one. If you're going to try one recipe, I would say that one.
Do you think that chicken curry?
Yeah.
I've made a vegetarian Thai curry from your book.
Yep.
And my other favourite is the blueberry and almond tray bake.
The anytime bake.
Oh, my God.
Have you had it any time?
I will eat anything at any time. There are no rules. But yes, I have, I think.
What's your cut? Because you must go in and out of love with your own recipes.
I get to a point sometimes where I also think, what am I going to have? And then I don't go and flick through my own book necessarily.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Is that like watching yourself on TV, actors watching themselves? It must be a bit
insane. I genuinely, when I do flick through the book...
I mean, if you don't want to refer to your cookbook, why would any of the rest of us?
No, it's not that I don't want to refer to it. Do you know what I do half the time? It's laziness. I'll pull my phone out and I'll look at what I've eaten. Right. And I'll sort of scroll through and I'll be like, oh, I haven't had that for a while, I'll have it.
Is that because you take pictures of everything?
Can I tell you something?
Yes. Is that leading us nicely on something?
No, I mean, I'm...
This is really embarrassing. That's what I do when I don't know what to wear. I look through what other things I've worn that I've put on Instagram.
Well, this is it. So there you go. I was like, shall I wear this? Oh, I think I'm seeing people tonight that might have seen this dress. Oh, no, it's been quite a recent wear, you know?
You're almost doing what Cher in Clueless was doing like 20 years ago. You know, it's almost, that's a variation of it. But that's a really good, because, you know, I mean, we'll come on to this, because I know one of our topics today is kind of related to what we're talking about. But yeah, I think that makes sense to almost have like a little sort of inventory, visual inventory of what you've eaten.
A visual inventory.
Yeah.
But the chicken curry I'm pleased you made, because I think it's one of the only recipes that we didn't have time or space to put a picture of the curry. Uh-huh. And I just get so sad. If a recipe doesn't have a picture, I get gutted, because people do say it's really annoying when you don't have a picture to go with it. But you as the author, you can only fight so much to have a picture in. Mm. So I'm glad that you used your own imagination to imagine what a chicken curry would look
like. That's great, because then you can't look at how pathetic yours looks next to the chef-ready, perfect picture one.
I
like the ones without pictures.
Do you like it? It doesn't intimidate you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I can do better than nothing.
Exactly, yeah.
So there you go. So basically, get out there, people. Grab a copy of Eat Happy. It is a number one bestseller for a very good reason.
It's unbelievable.
We are fans.
Did you make the banoffee pie too?
Yes, I made the banoffee pie.
You made banoffee pie, you said, and the chicken curry. Yeah. And you whipped it together, didn't you?
Yeah, and what I loved as well was it was everything I either already had in my cupboard or I could literally grab from Tesco Extra 5 seconds from my house. So brilliant. It was
We need to have a cook-off. I made the quinoa bread.
Oh,
very nice. I mean, I think I showed you. I had seed. Yes. We'd gone rogue with the seeds on the top.
Yeah.
But you didn't seem to mind.
No, I think I might have said, use whatever seeds you like. And actually, I realise when I say things like that, in my head, when you write recipes, you say to yourself, there's a fine line. I guess writing magazines is the same. Like, you can either say a lot, which annoys people, there's too much to kind of trundle through, or you say less and assume people will feel free to. But actually, people like it when you say, feel free to change up the seeds.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you felt free to change up the seeds.
You know, I made an executive decision on seeds.
You just live life on the edge, Jarvin, eating any kind of seeds you like. I mean, crazy talk.
Because seeds, there's always the last few in the packet that won't go nicely into like your display jar. Do you have display jars for your seeds?
No, I do not.
No?
I have failed as a human being and a woman and a chef and every other way that you can possibly fail with seeds. I'm so sorry.
No, but when I'm having a bad day, what makes me feel better is taking some seeds or anything, taking an old mustard jar, washing it, and putting some seeds in it, and then lining it up on a shelf. That's my way of making everything nice in the world.
You're easily pleased, aren't
you,
Melissa?
I'm really easily pleased.
Wow.
But just keep all the jars.
I'm That's speechless true. At that, to be honest.
I'm from an army Filipino household when we've got the same jars from 30 years ago.
Oh, but also it's simple pleasures. Simple pleasures.
Seeds and jars.
I spent half an hour vacuuming up a packet of spilled linseeds from my wooden floor yesterday.
Well, if you think this talk can't get any crazier, it's time we need some topics, I think, don't you?
Melissa, you've got a topic you want to discuss.
Yes.
I really want to talk about this. Is it just me? Am I the only person who's talking to myself out loud all the time, more and more, crazy lady on the tube?
Oh my God. I think I've been doing that since I was about 5 years old. And I've actually, I don't know whether it's, sometimes I will be on the train and I will say something that I think is in my head. And then I realize several people are looking at me. But I don't think I've said it, but I think I've been mouthing the words silently as I say it. It's almost like my computer needs to boot up in the morning and log into all the things I've got to do. And sometimes I'll have the imaginary conversations that I know I'm about to go and have. And every now and again, I realize my mouth has been moving.
So you're almost,
it's not just you.
It's not just me.
So no.
You're almost rehearsing what's coming up in your day.
But why can't I do it without it coming out of my face? What does it
mean?
Because
you're an expressive person.
Yeah.
But do you sort of psych yourself up for what you're going into?
Sometimes. Mm. Which is a bad idea, because you can't know what the other person's going to say.
No.
But your head's doing, and then they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say, well, and then you end up getting in a bad mood about something that's never going to happen.
You've had an imaginary fight.
Yeah.
Have you ever sat in a meeting and someone said something and you thought, oh, they're such a... And you've said it.
No, thank God, no. I've emailed that on occasion.
By mistake?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
I think my face says that, sadly. I have no poker face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have to say, I've always had a terrible internal monologue and a dialogue constantly. You know, when I tell people my perception of things, they go, God, it must be exhausting being in your head, because I'm just thinking of all the different things. I'm imagining all the different scenarios and taking offence at things that aren't there and all this kind of stuff. So I've always had that. But now I do think what you said is true, Melissa. The older I get, I do actually catch myself, especially now that I work from home on my own a lot.
Yes.
I do catch myself just saying things like that. And I'm going to think the neighbours must assume I'm crazy. And so also, I'm always swearing.
What sort of stuff are you two saying out loud?
I'm mainly swearing, I have to say. Because it's at the world, whether it's like I've run out of milk, not hemp, or, you know, if I've just had a bad bit of news, I don't know, I'm just, for fuck's sake, or, you know, the Hoover's not working, or I will always sort of swear out loud. Yeah, I definitely am doing it more and more. But do you think that's connected with being at home, working from home, or you're talking to yourself? At least you have a dog.
I've got my dog.
So you can pretend you're talking to your dog.
I love talking to the dog.
She just, you know, well, this is a funny thing. I completely agree with you. I get myself worked up by sort of imagining things, and I actually try to use my voice, my out loud, to calm myself down. Mm. Have
well,
you ever
that's
done
good.
That?
No.
So
no.
I try and do that. So I might catch myself saying, "You're an idiot, Melissa." And then I think, oh, that's horrible. That's really nasty to say that to myself. So then I try and say, I try and turn it into a positive, and I'm like, actually, you're really good at this. And it feels mega cheesy. I'm actually cringing telling you this now. Like, look at my thighs. Just
no, going, I love that.
My buttocks are clenching.
I love that you would tell us that, because I've got a similar thing in that it's almost like a knee-jerk, like a reflex thing. If I remember something I did or said that was embarrassing, it's involuntary. I start speaking. I'll sort of like, it could just be a sigh, or it could be the first word that comes into my mouth. But if I think of something that makes me die of embarrassment, a word comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's so weird.
I think it's probably better out than in, though, isn't it?
I do the exact same thing. If I relive an embarrassing moment, I will literally say, "You're a fucking idiot." I literally will say that out loud. And that's quite interesting what you just said then about trying to turn that around. Because it is true. People, you know, most therapists will say to you, don't they, you will never talk to an actual person the way you sometimes speak to yourself.
Yes.
The cruel, horrible things you say to yourself, whether it's looking in the mirror or just thinking about some stupid, embarrassing thing you've done. You will say really horrible things to yourself that you would never dream of saying to another living person. So that's really true, I think, what you said. It's trying to sort of turn that on its head, maybe thinking it internally, but then verbalising something to negate it, I guess.
I'm going to try and try that. I'm going to try to remember to try that. Does it work? Do you feel better?
I think so. Yeah. I was saying to you, wasn't I? On my way here, I was sort of feeling a bit anxious about various things, and I was already, I was speaking to myself, but I was trying to do it in a nice way. And I just remembered I was in church for Easter with my mum, and some words just started coming out, and I don't know what they were. I was muttering, my mum was going, "Please be quiet." And then also when it was singing time, telling me off for not singing loudly enough. But I do think that talking out loud is super important. I feel repressed if stuff doesn't come out, and I massively feel better when I say whatever's in my mind. And sometimes I just go, Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, in yoga, they say to you, do lion's breath. Do you know what that is? I'm just going to do it over here so I don't breathe all over you. You know, when you go, stick your tongue out and just let it all out.
Yeah.
I try and do that every so often, just for the sake of sanity, clenching jaws, which lead to headaches, all of these things. I just get it out. So I think
screaming into a pillow.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, because I have some friends who've come to stay with me, and they're a whole different league of talking to themselves. And I find it actually quite endearing and quite funny, but not in a sort of mocking them kind of way. I just think, do you know what, they're just very free. They just don't care. They don't give two shits if you're going to judge them about it. But also, again, they tend to be people who work for themselves. So I do wonder if it is something about...
Have we done a survey, us freelancers? Yeah, 10 years of being a freelancer, or 5 years of being a freelancer.
You've got to talk to someone.
Really good at doing our washing, not good at doing our invoicing. Really good at doing this.
Yeah.
True.
So happy to be a freelancer last week with the sun, though.
I mean, it was a good time to be freelance.
I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it.
Well, look, if you are a freelancer and you're out there, you're going, absolutely, I totally talk to myself, please reassure us. You know the email address, hopefully by now. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, don't keep your thoughts to yourself.
No.
And speak them to yourself. Speak them to us.
Say them out loud to
us. Yes.
Imagine if you could send a voice note. Can you send voice note emails?
I don't know.
Us two Luddites, we've got a clue.
Well, don't send any, because we won't know how to listen to them.
I've just got this thing resting on a bit of pleather. We don't know how to do techno things like that.
Well, I'm glad we're not alone. We talk out loud and that's fine. Better out than in. Yeah.
Exactly. Speak to yourselves out loud, people. It's good for the soul.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, Joe and Melissa, well, I feel I'm going to be preaching to the choir, certainly with one of you with this one. Is it just me who seems to spend more and more time photographing my food than I did to actually make it and then subsequently eat it? Because you know me, Joe and Melissa, we're Instagram pals. I do love a food pic, and I'm kind of not apologetic for that, because I just think I love a food pic too, so it's not like, you know, I'm going around hating other people's food pics.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it's such a social media cliche now.
Yeah.
But everybody loves it. Or any time I put a picture of... I put a crumpet, like a bare crumpet on this.
A naked
on my,
crumpet.
A naked crumpet with a silly caption. And I think that got like more likes than anything. Like thousands
even the
of
best
likes.
Outfit you've yeah. ever worn.
Yeah. It was a jumbo crumpet, wasn't it?
It was a giant crumpet. And I just said, I love the Maldives, but they didn't have any giant crumpets, so I came back.
There you go.
And that got, I mean, so as much as people moan about it and roll their eyes at you when you're sitting in a restaurant, people do tend to gravitate to a food picture.
Well, I think you do fall into one or two camps. It's quite divisive, isn't it? It's, you know, you either love a food picture or you find them really irritating. And I think some people are quite openly hostile in their hatred of food pics.
Yeah.
And I'm always a bit like,
but the day we catch
it.
Them doing one,
yeah,
we will catch them doing one.
Well, they always say, I'm not a fan of food pics normally, but you know, and you're like, oh, why do you always feel the need to apologise?
Yeah. Have you been on Instagram for ages now?
Quite a while, probably about five years now.
So I feel, me too, so I feel that so many people are like, I'm not going to be one of those people, and they all end up doing it.
Mm.
You know, sort of people I feel as well that said, I'm not really a podcast person.
Mm.
And then they'll start listening to them, and before you know it, they're going to be bringing one out.
Yeah.
I'm not really a podcast person, but they let me do one. It's hilarious. Yeah.
It's so true what you say. You know, one of the oldest sort of cliches about food, isn't it? You eat with your eyes.
Yes.
So I think Instagram is the obvious place to put stuff. I mean, I would never, I mean, I'm very clear about, you know, you shouldn't just have one of those sort of accounts that everything's linked to. So, like, I don't have, if I put something on Instagram, it doesn't automatically go to Twitter or to Facebook. They're all very separate. Because I don't think, I don't want to see food pictures on Facebook, funnily enough.
You want to see, what do you want to see on Facebook?
I don't know, I guess more just fun and hijinks and, like,
well,
you know, holiday pictures.
Hijinks. Facebook is my
wrong.
Actual friends
yeah.
who have no qualms in saying, well, that looks revolting.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so I'm not, it's like.
So just, no feed on Facebook?
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess not. I would never put a food picture on Facebook. But also, at the same time, it's, you know, it depends what you want to get out of your feed, isn't it? I mean, I do think it's a balance between, you know, taking inspiration, whether or not it's where you want to go on holiday or, you know, where you want to, what you want to wear that day to what you want to cook that evening. Mm. And you follow people who inspire you. So I think food does play a strong part in that. But, I mean, I would love to know, because, I mean, I have now turned into that slightly anal person where I do actually probably spend far too much time almost, like, trying to dress and stage manage.
Comes across so naturally, though. It really does. So ad hoc.
Plate. But it is ridiculous, isn't it? But, I mean,
I think the golden rule is, if it's cold, you spent too much time.
True. But also, I do find if you stick to a white plate, it looks a lot better.
And natural light.
Yeah,
well,
natural light
think,
and white plate.
In all seriousness, I think it's a good thing, because I think it encourages people to cook more at home. And I think home-cooked food is always going to be one of the best things you can do, mind, body and soul. Like, for me, it makes me feel connected. I feel like I'm giving myself a little treat when I cook at home. Obviously, going out for dinner is wonderful,
but
and that's
don't
a treat.
You think, I think there must be swathes of people out there who are pretending they've cooked something that they've put on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Don't you think?
Well, this is the other thing. A few of my friends did.
Maybe they're buying the images.
Well, that's
I think
what
people can do that.
Like, you know, buying the packet food and dressing it up and then,
But it's funny because I only put up pictures of food I've made. So I wouldn't put up pictures on restaurant food or friends' food.
Oh, I do.
And loads of my friends didn't realise. They just thought I was just being, like, nicking food from other people. But I'm going, no, I made that. They're going, oh.
Copyright me.
Oh, I would have liked it if I'd known you'd made it. I'm going, But, you know, but this is...
I made this.
I know.
Maybe you need to put your face and a thumb in every picture.
All my own work.
What was I going to say? No, actually, it does remind me of a card. I did buy my boyfriend a card. I think it was last year. And it was one of those silly ones. And I think it said... It was a picture of a girl. I can't really remember, but the caption said something like, this one's for Instagram, yours is in the microwave. That just reminded me of that. I always put my own stuff up. And actually, I feel that feel like I made this vat of bolognese. No, my mum made this vat of bolognese. And I took this picture and I got back from a trip and she'd made this massive vat. And people just loved it because it was so comforting. And that's what was reminding me of the crumpet.
I hope to meet someone one day who would make me a vat of bolognese.
Yeah, it's like paddling pool of bolognese.
I would.
Oh my
if
God.
If I'd heard that phrase before my wedding, I would have had that put into my wedding
vows.
Yeah.
Oh, you would have married that vat of bolognese, I was going to say.
Ross would have been saying, I will make you a vat of bolognese at least once a month as part of his wedding vows.
I think that's real love.
Yeah.
So my mum did it for me and, you know, then I kind of put it into portions and put it in the freezer. I gave some away. I was away. My boyfriend went through too many, I think, in one go. But that's what I think is nice about food, and I guess that's why they love the crumpet. Like, the crumpet reminded them of childhood, the many times they've had the crumpets. Crumpets just, you know, they could be sweet, savoury, all of these things.
One crumpet to unite them all.
Exactly. Is crumpet a national dish?
Well, it should be. There must be a crumpet day,
there will
right?
be a day, definitely, for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to ask you, Melissa, where do you stand? Because obviously there are lots of people out there who just say, I can't cook. And because people always say to me, oh, you're a great cook. And I always say, well, no, because I just follow a recipe. Because I just think it's a bit like doing maths or science. It is. Cooking is pretty much, isn't it? If you add this with this and that, you'll have this.
And don't burn it. Then you've got this.
But sometimes that doesn't work.
Does it not?
Sometimes you think, I don't understand this. I did everything this thing told me to do, and it doesn't look like that.
Is it normally a cake? I find baking, I'm not really a baker.
Baking is trickier, I think. Baking is way more of a science, where you can be a bit more ad hoc, can't you, with saving stuff. But, I don't know, I think so many people have either never been taught, so therefore they're really scared of it, or they've had one go at it and it didn't go right, and then they
and
are equally as scared of it.
Yeah, and then you go, oh God, I've wasted all my time and built my confidence up to do this and wasted money on ingredients. My thing, as a non-trained cook who started cooking late in life, baby of the family, only started cooking when I was about 21, when I've done books, or even back in the day writing recipes for Vogue, that's how we started, how our name came out, the worst feeling in the world is if someone said to me, your recipe doesn't work. So for that, I take massive pride, and I think most recipe writers would say that's the worst feeling in the world if someone says, oh, either it didn't work, or I made it and it wasn't worth it. I mean, even
just
thinking
that. I can't imagine actually saying that to someone.
No, people say that. And, you know, that's when you really have to kind of check yourself. So for me, I would massively avoid that. And I think that one of the ways that something might not work is if someone's trying to overcomplicate things. You know when you watch breakfast TV sometimes and you've got a chef cooking with seven different pans?
Yes.
You know, of course it's going to taste good if you're a chef and it's seven different pans and all these things. But for me, it's got to be one pan, lovely, and then maybe some nice toasted seeds on the top.
She's back on those seeds again.
Yeah, something nice on top.
Yeah.
Hemp. I keep thinking about hemp. I keep wondering. I missed this episode. Why does she like hemp so much?
It's coming out next tomorrow or today, I think. But
so we'll all be avidly listening.
Special hemp edition.
Sponsored by hemp.
Sponsored by the Hemp Seed Foundation.
But I do think it touches as well on your point earlier, Melissa. And this is why I think as a food writer, you can't ever assume people know everything.
No.
So actually, I think you can't put in enough method.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard because you have word counts.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the time people do say to me, and I guess because I cook more and more and more, I kind of know when somebody says, oh, beat these till soft peaks, I know what that means. But most you know, person.
He's not talking about cooking.
I know. Filth bag that I am. I'm saying not talking.
Set me up for that one.
Exactly.
But I think sometimes people go, what the hell does that mean? You know? So I think you can't really have enough detail.
In the back of my book, I've got something called Kitchen Saves, and it says, is it too soggy? Is it too thick? Is it too thin? Is it too bland? Is it too spicy? And all the things you can do to rectify that. But yeah, no one teaches you that. And I'm sure if you put in how to beat something, you look it up. Who's got the time to do that? You want it all singing or dancing, otherwise you think, I'm just going to call someone and have that delivered.
Yeah,
don't
that's
you?
The thing. It needs to be simple, straightforward.
Back to basics.
Yeah, and not overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Or not even, I think the terminology is quite crucial, but not using chefy terms, you know.
But, beat, like what does beat mean? Does that mean, because I'm not a baker, is that wooden spoon or do they want us to get a machine out?
I would have thought a machine. I mean, you know, I love my KitchenAid. I'm virtually married
to my KitchenAid. It's all getting very Nigellary.
I know.
innuendo-y for me.
Enough of your beating talk.
You know what, actually, on a recipe, sorry, last thing is, my dream world would be you'd have followed my recipe, and then the next time you make it, you don't even need to look at the recipe because you think to yourself, do you know what, that chicken curry was lovely, but actually I've got this spice, so I'm going to introduce this spice into it, and I know what I'm doing now. And you with the quinoa bread, maybe a bit more tricky, you want to check your quantities again, but can just adapt it to make it yours.
James will go rogue, I won't go rogue.
No, you won't go rogue? Will you diligently
follow
it?
I'm more on the diligent side as well. I'm getting a bit more crazy and rogue as I get older, but on the whole, that's why I think, I always say to my friends, if you follow a recipe, pretty much, and just don't be scared of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you get taught how to cook at school?
Yeah, sort of, but my mum always encouraged me. I think that's the difference. I think sadly there's a whole generation of kids now who weren't taught in school and weren't taught, you know.
Were you taught?
No. No, actually I did. I just ignored it. I didn't pay any attention.
Are kids getting taught now? They're not getting taught at school, are they?
No idea.
Yeah, so that's why. But but if they get eat happy.
That'd be great. Or also what I was thinking about is I do quite a lot of cookery classes. And I do them as auction prizes for charities and things, or work with the Prince's Trust have places where you can go and give cookery classes. But I was thinking, summer holidays, people should just do more cookery classes for kids, and then maybe the parents can drop in as well and get some lessons too. But cooking's the best. I feel like I see people build in confidence in an hour class.
Well, we've talked about this before, haven't we? We said it before. It's like Joe and I have quite a similar approach, I think. Whether we're bored, a bit upset, or, you know, just ravenously hungry, you know.
Comfort cook.
Yeah. I find it quite, if you've had a really strenuous, awful day, you just go into the kitchen and just lose yourself for half an hour or ever.
Yeah.
Just, so get involved, people.
And cooking's a nice time to listen to a podcast as well. So that's when I
Very
do my podcast
true.
Listening.
True. See, so, there you go. She's brought it full circle.
Exactly. So get cooking whilst listening to us, please.
Melissa and James, I always get the grumpy topics. What are you trying to do to me here?
You're typecast.
Yeah.
And you've got a smiley face as well.
Not always.
No?
No.
I'm getting smiles today.
Is it just me who is, I fear to say, becoming increasingly impatient? And God knows, anybody who knows me, I've always been impatient. Mm. It can't just be an age thing, is it? Is it a social media thing? Is it a crowded London thing? I don't know.
You struck me as quite a zen person, Melissa.
No.
No?
I'm the opposite.
Oh, really?
Made me feel better. I actually did a podcast in New York, and I described something. I was trying to talk about my food as being relaxed, and I was like, you know, a bit like, and then the woman went, but you're the most unrelaxed person I've ever met. And I was like, oh, okay.
Harsh?
No.
What was giving her that vibe?
I don't know, maybe I'm being zen because I'm sweaty. So I know that if I stay still, the perspiration will
relax.
You
don't look sweaty.
You
do not.
Don't
you look very,
all.
Very matte.
Do yes. I? Matte. Yeah. Matt.
Not even dewy.
Not even dewy, Matt. Yeah. I'm not relaxed. It's something I massively work on. Yeah. I'm a Virgo. I like lists. I like getting stuff done. I'm always like, can I get to the juicy stuff? And now I've realised the juicy stuff is life. Mm. It's the being. But still,
God, that's so deep.
Yeah, I don't always subscribe to that. I'm always thinking about what next is tickling me. And
so you're quite impatient then?
Massively.
Oh, no, but I just mean, like, you know, stuck in traffic patience.
Oh, that
too?
Yeah. I do.
Back there. Yeah, I see.
Actually, going back to our other topic, I do find my impatience is fueling me talking to myself more. As in, like, it's my exasperation that makes you go, for fuck's sake, what's going on? You know, whether you're, you know, sat on a tube and it's been in a tunnel for 10 minutes or, you know. But you said something earlier, they think now impatience is actually good for you.
I don't think it's good for me.
Not good for you. I think... being, I think all kind of labelling yourself as being a grumpy so-and-so or this is not good for us. Mm. I remember an ex-boyfriend's dad just being like, I'm impatient, I know what I want, I'm old enough, I'm allowed to be like this now. So I feel like relaxing into your bad side and your bad traits is a nice thing to do to yourself, not beat yourself up.
It's not very nice. It's a bit unapologetic, though, just to say, this is how I'm rude.
Deal with it. Oh, no, don't want to be a...
Do you know what I mean?
No, because
I mean, impatience can.
Impatience
can be rude, can't it? And that's, I don't like that about myself. Yeah.
Will you be mean to someone with it?
I don't know about mean, but just, you know, testy. Mm. Like, come on, get on with it.
Yeah. Sharp.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do? Do you then say to yourself afterwards, on the way home, oh, I wish I hadn't been like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sometimes. Or I'll end up apologising at the time for sort of like, you know, snapping about someone being quicker or not like people in shops. I mean, people at work in a meeting, like taking forever to get to a point. Or do you know what I mean? Like,
have you got high standards that have got higher, do you think?
I don't know if they've got higher. I think I just feel like maybe it's because, you know, I've got a really busy job. I'm a mum. I've got places to go and people to see. Mm. I don't want to fanny about.
Do you see the minutes ticking by? When you
sometimes
see something like a traffic light or someone taking ages, you think, that minute I could have done that.
Yeah.
I know 100%. About that.
Yeah.
I know about that.
But I don't think you are alone, because without failure, every time I ask my sort of group of friends for suggestions for topics for this very podcast, it's always something related to their impatience. It's whether or not, oh, you do something about slow walkers, or do something about traffic lights, or do something about, I don't know, basically something that, I had a friend go into one about the Oyster card and how slowly people produce their Oyster card.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm ready.
See?
It's not a big surprise, is it, that you need it? It's not a big surprise.
But people get really angry. Yeah. Again, it's about that impeding your, basically, the development of your day, isn't it?
If I'm coming out of a train station or somewhere and I can just see swathes of people that are taking forever to trudge upstairs at this pace, like this, and I am just, and I know it's going to take me another 10 minutes
to navigate them,
a 30 second journey if there was nobody there. I don't say anything, but in my head I am screaming.
Do you have me breathe right behind them as well?
No, nothing like that. So this is why I'm going to die young, because I'm just internalizing all this fury.
I bet you if you went, hey guys, wouldn't it be more fun if, I think it always takes that one person. Do you get upset when people don't move down the bit?
I do, but I also get upset at the people who go, could you move down, when you've got a face full of armpit? Yeah, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
So I get impatient with those people
as well. Get impatient with the people that are being impatient.
Sometimes I will, if somebody says, could you move down? Sometimes I will say, no, I can't. So
I'm trying my best here.
Yeah.
When I realised I had to relax was when I went to a yoga class and the lovely yoga teacher started talking for 5 minutes. And I was thinking, but I want to move my body. I want to rest my body. I want to stretch my body. And she started talking about the feeling around the moon. And I am well into all of that. But in that moment, I was like, I've just paid. I've killed myself to get this yoga class.
No, I would have been nearly in tears with waiting to get through that.
Would you like, the irony of being in a yoga class and saying, get the hell on with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I really was cross with myself in that moment, because I think the point is, she knew that everyone needed a moment to settle. Mm. And actually, what she was saying was probably supremely powerful. And if I had just listened, instead of going, can we do the first stretch, please? But isn't that funny? But is that thing is, you kill yourself to get somewhere. Like, I was feeling really stressed
out. You and I need therapy.
Why?
Clearly.
Is there a specific therapist who's available for impatience?
Yeah. If you're an impatience expert, please get in touch with us on the podcast.
This is actually a really good question, Joe, because I think that there probably is a massive rise. I think you're completely right. Mm. If you said to people, what really ticks you off, it would be impatience across the board with absolutely everything. And my boyfriend said to me, I was like, should we have kids soon? And he was like, but you're so impatient.
Well,
what are you going to be like?
It does teach you patience, that.
Having kids.
But,
really?
now that I'm, you know, my daughter's older and I don't have that thing where I'm having to do what she wants to do every day. She's much more independent doing her own things. My impatience has returned. Because I've got more time to think about what I want to do. Mm. You know, it used to be, I used to have to go at her pace, even the walk to school. And that really taught me to pause.
Yeah.
But now I don't have that monitor.
I mean, that's always my one. Yeah. When I'm stuck behind, you know, somebody with their child and they're walking to school and I find myself in my head going, oh, for Christ's sake, move, would you? And I go, it's a small, cute kid. And I have this, again, my internal dialogue is telling myself off. So I do try to check my impatience.
See, I was worried about talking about this one because I sound like a terrible person.
I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people, but we all need to realize. I think a lot of time you have to realize and own it. You're owning your impatience and you're not saying it's cool.
Yeah.
And I think if we all need to get together and say, guys, we all get impatient, so just remember, don't judge everyone when they get a little bit fraught.
Yeah.
They're just having a bad day. You need to get somewhere.
I worry more about the fact that we're kind of spoiling stuff for ourselves because we're always rushing to get to the next
thing.
That's
true.
So I remember even, you just reminding me of my dog. I remember wanting my dog to poo faster the other day.
Oh, and no, actually, but I know that's
like poo faster.
Yeah, I mean, we're on a schedule here. Yeah.
Right?
I took my dog out for 35 minutes this morning and she did not poo.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, I mean.
Constipated.
Bad, bad doggy.
Well, I hope she just, you know, the mood took her at another time during the day when the dog walker came.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But 35 minutes, so you gave her like a lot. That was not an impatient.
It's a bigger window than I get for such activity, Melissa, exactly. So let me tell you.
I just hope she's not listening because she'll be devastated to be called
everybody
down.
Knew.
Poo shamed on this very podcast. And on that lovely note, we also end on a highbrow moment. Melissa, thank you so much
thank
for joining
so much,
us.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to see you. And like I said, well, you don't need any luck with the book. It's amazing.
And I'm going to keep spamming you with my efforts from the book.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Keep that seed chat coming.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Melissa.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.